Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the India Glycols Q1 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Lizanne. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us on India Glycols Q1 FY 2022 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Sudhir Agarwal, Executive Director, Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjay Gurwara, President, Marketing, Mr. S.K. Shukla, Head, Liquor Business, Professor Dr. R.K. Khanna, President, R&D and Business Development, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head, Legal and Company Secretary at India Glycols Limited. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak Saraswat to initiate proceeding with his opening remark, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, Roopak. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sanjesh. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in this call. I hope all of you are doing well. We've had a rather precarious year last year, and the uncertainty has been rather unthinkable and continues. On a much lighter note, hopefully we will start spending our clothes budget on things other than masks and alcohol budget on things other than gallons of sanitizers. What I plan to do is to take you through just 30-second introduction of my team members. We've not done such a call for a long, long time, you know, and so therefore it'll be in order. After that, I will take you through a company overview, and then I will request our CFO to take you through financials very quickly, and then we will have time for discussion. I will start off by introducing myself. I, Roopak Saraswat, I joined India Glycols not, you know, roughly about 6 months ago in December 2020. I have worked in mainly two organizations before that. Most of my career I've spent working for ICAI and Croda, and in my last role, I was the Managing Director for Croda India, with some responsibilities for Asia Pacific, which included supply chain, technical quality, and some sites like Singapore, Japan, Indonesia, et cetera. In between, I had a stint of about 1 year with another company called Transpex Silox, which is a subsidiary of a Belgian company called Silox, and now I'm here at India Glycols. I will quickly ask my leadership team to introduce themselves, starting with Mr. Anand Singhal, the CFO.
Good afternoon. I am Anand Singhal. I am the CFO of the company. I joined this company in 2008, so now I've already completed my 13 years with this company, taking care of the finance and accounts. Before that, I was working with a company called Trident Group in Ludhiana, and will try to give the answers whatever asked by the investors. Thank you very much.
My name is Professor Rakesh Khandel. I'm President, R&D and Business Development in India Glycols. My association with India Glycols started in 1993. Then in 2001, I left the company and went to become the director, Shriram Institute, for almost about 12 years. Then as a vice chancellor of UP Technical University. Since 2015, I am again with India Glycols. I'm really proud to say that this is a company where any employee would like to work for. Just I want to mention that our R&D focuses on innovation, unique products, novel products, and focus is always on products which are sustainable, which make the company sustainable. As our founder, Mr. M.L. Bhartia, had given the mandate and vision for the company, we focus our energies on finding out alternatives to petroleum resources to make sure that not only India Glycols remains sustainable, but all our stakeholders, all our partners also attain sustainability. Thank you very much.
Thank
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sanjeev Gurwara, President, Marketing. I have been with this company for the last 27 years. I've joined India Glycols in 1994 and seen a wonderful growth over the years. And I think we have been innovating on the way forward with collaborations, a JV, and now I think our future endeavors to go into bio-based products and specialties and improve our, I think, profitability in the coming times.
Good afternoon. My name is S.K. Shukla. I am heading the liquor division. So I am with this company in 2004. This is my 17th year. And in 17th year, I have traveled all across all the plant of India Glycol, right from Gorakhpur, Kashipur. And now I am in head office looking after this operation. I am ready to give you the answer of your questions regarding my subject. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. This is Ankur Jain. I'm looking after the compliance and corporate governance part, heading as a legal head and company secretary. Been with the with this company for the last 5 years or so. Previously, I have worked with different gamuts, you know, from real estate to manufacturing companies. Delighted to welcome you all on this call and look forward for your questions. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, last but not the least, Mr. Sudhir Agarwal, who joined us from another location. Sudhirji, very quickly, can you give us an introduction?
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everybody. I am Sudhir Agarwal, basically a chemical engineer, having the experience of almost 35 years or so. I joined IGL in 2014 as Vice President of Operations, and now I am heading the site as Executive Director of the company. So my focus area has been plant area, plant operations, energy optimization, project management, and all day-to-day activities of the plant operation. Thank you.
Thank you. Without wasting much more time, I will now take over to give an overview of India Glycols. So India Glycols is essentially a company which has been and is into sustainable bio-based ingredients and performance chemicals, which are based on green technologies. You know, we are called India Glycols, but it is possible that our name probably does not fully convey what all we represent. Though the journey started about 30 years ago by manufacturing India Glycols, and at that point in time, India Glycols was the first company in the world to make ethylene oxide using bio-based feedstocks converted into various ingredients, which includes glycols, glycol ethers, and subsequently ethoxylates, derivatives, formulations, and so on. So this innovative way in which the company started by being a pioneer in this technology is perhaps even more inspirational and relevant today for the journey that we look ahead. In terms of our portfolio, we represent or we have bio-based specialties, biopolymers, and we have a segment which is plant-based APIs and nutraceuticals, which we call eNature Biopharma. Portable spirits is an important portfolio for us now. Something that will become more important in future is biofuels. And something that you may have read about, which is the carbon smart range. Since I've used the word carbon smart, I might like to explain this to you, even though this is something which is a nascent business for us right now. The reason this has been in news is that there have been at least two public announcements. One of them has been by the global CEO of Unilever and also a press release where they talked about a collaboration of LenzaTech, India Glycols and Unilever to make home care products using carbon smart feedstocks. So what are carbon smart feedstocks? Carbon smart, it is called because it has a very low carbon footprint. And it is something which is an imperative worldwide for not only for nations but organizations to continue to reduce their carbon footprint so as to meet the UN SDGs or the UN Sustainability Development Goals and therefore contribute towards reducing climate change. And more and more bigger companies are taking it very seriously, as you know, and setting targets for themselves. So what carbon smart technology does is this. LenzaTech brings the technology where very, very interestingly, huge amounts of carbon or carbon dioxide, which is in millions of tons really, which goes out of stacks in terms of carbon dioxide from steel plants and other such high energy consumption consuming plants. This biotechnology captures this carbon from these emissions, converts it into useful chemicals, which we further in India Glycols derivatize to useful products, which are known as carbon smart products. So that is, it's not a big part of your portfolio right now, but it's very promising. And because I use the word carbon smart, I thought I'll explain that to you. Of course, we are also the largest manufacturer of bio-EO-based ethylene oxide and its derivatives in the world. As I understand, we are probably only the second significant player and also the largest. We have a customer base which is with big players in India as well as global players, which include players like Coca-Cola, Unilever, Bacardi and many others. And we have three state-of-art manufacturing facilities which we are currently running. One of them is in Dehradun, the other one is in Kashipur, and the third one is in Gorakhpur. In terms of our portfolio, as I said, broadly, the way we look at it, we divide it into three broad heads. And this is something the way we would like to align our strategy going forward as well. Number one being bio-based chemicals and specialties. This includes bio-based specialties like glycols, glycol ethers, and acetates, specialty and performance chemicals, biofuels, bio-based polymers, and I already spoke about the carbon smart range. So this is one broad head, has been an important area for India Glycols and will continue to be an important area for India Glycols going forward. The other relatively newer area for India Glycols is portable spirits. As you know, sometimes people have asked me the question, how is it related to your, you know, specialties or chemical business? Now the connection is very important to understand, which is the synergy. Traditionally, one of the important feedstocks which we have manufactured ourselves has been high quality ethanol, because that has been required for the specialties that we produce. And since we had a strength in producing superior quality ethanol, it was a logical step that we looked at in a slow manner, in a phased manner, to build a business in the portable spirits area. And so far we've done very well in that area. We, as some of you may know, are the leader in terms of branded country liquor in both Uttar Pradesh as well as Uttarakhand. We've also forayed in a small way to start with in Indian manufactured foreign liquor. And obviously even before we did this, we were already manufacturing superior quality extra neutral alcohol, which we were selling in bulk quantities to other beverage manufacturers. And it is something that we also use to do the bottling for Bacardi in India. The third, relatively small but a very promising business for us, is E-Nature Biopharma. Essentially, this is based on plant-based APIs and extracts, which produce APIs, nutraceutical, and carotenoids for various herbal and pharmaceutical usages. You must have recently heard about the joint venture that we have with Clariant Ideal Specialty Chemicals Private Limited. So essentially, what we've done is this. IGL had the biggest business globally in manufacturing bio-based ethoxylates and their formulations, which was one part of our larger chemicals business. And with a strong manufacturing footprint in India, with a good reach to customers in India, and we thought that it was a good way to create value for our stakeholders by collaborating with a global major like Clariant. So IGL brings in a strong manufacturing footprint in India, a footprint in bio-based feedstocks, and Clariant brings in global technology and reach to some of the global customers. So this is the bigger synergy in terms of the joint venture. For last year, we had a gross turnover of 6,058 crores. We had a net operating turnover of 2,656 crores and an EBITDA of 359 crores. Given the EBITDA performance of last year as well as the sales performance of last year, you would see that given the circumstances, I thought, you know, I would like to say that it was a resilient performance by India Glycols in the circumstances that we operated. I've already spoken to you about the portfolio of sustainable bio-based ingredients and green technologies. So again, summarizing and telling you about a few others, it is bio-based specialties. I already spoke about it, but I would like to say that they go into some very interesting markets, which are
which will continue to grow, not only in India but globally, which includes personal care, which includes food, which includes textiles, paper, packaging, oil and gas, home care, coatings. Now, if you see all these sectors are typically, you know, if you keep the COVID and the uncertainty that comes with COVID aside for a bit, these sectors are all expected to grow double digits, at least in India, and will also continue to be growth drivers globally. So we are connected with or serving customers in areas which are fast growing. Within the potable spirits portfolio, you know, we are doing well as far as country liquor is concerned. We are launching new brands in IMFL as well. And the broader strategy is to grow slow, steady and solid and introduce brands to cater to the more premium markets in this space. I spoke about nutraceuticals or the e-nature biopharma segment as well. And this contributes into areas like pharma, personal care, nutrition. And more people are interested in looking at alternate medicine, looking at preventive medicine, looking at medicine which or nutrition which is based, which is plant-based. I spoke about the IGL green joint venture already. I've written about FMCG as a new area, but relatively small. Since we were into alcohol and we were making highly purified grades of alcohol which are suitable for portable purposes, we also got into the sanitizers business last year. Not only do we manufacture our own sanitizers, but we also continue to manufacture sanitizers for some of the biggest brands in India. Biofuels is something of interest to us. Not talking about the circular economy. As we use various bio feedstocks to create potable spirits or alcohol and various chemicals out of it, there are also residues which may be rich in protein and other things, which can be utilized. You know, so plant nutrition is one of the areas that we will be looking at, but it can also be animal nutrition in future. And industrial gases seems like something which is a little odd, but it is not so odd in the sense that we need gases when we produce our chemicals for our in-house consumption. So whilst we produce these gases, we also take the opportunity to sell these gases in the market, which includes oxygen and argon and nitrogen. And because we do a lot of fermentation, and one of the byproducts of fermentation is carbon dioxide, that is how we are also into production of carbon dioxide. So it's not an unrelated business. It's a very much a business related to what we do and kind of a bolt-on business that is there for us, which is either generated in-house or used in-house. So IGL has had a interesting journey starting way back in 1998 to the joint venture that we have with Clarion now and some interesting projects going forward. Let me jump further. I already spoke about the market that we cater to. I spoke about the joint venture. And I told you about the locations that we have in Kashipur, Dehradun, Gorakhpur, and Noida, and the manufacturing synergies that we have. And we will talk about R&D being one of the most important drivers for us, as it has been in the past. And it will continue to be in future. Our R&D labs are recognized by DSIR and Ministry of Science and Technology. We are working on several areas, including green solvents and for various applications, including smart specialty chemicals, bio-based specialties, biopolymers and hydrocolloids for high-end applications, and a number of basic building blocks from renewable sources, which bring a low carbon footprint and deliver greenhouse gas savings. Areas like green brake fluids, antifreeze agents, lubricants, which are replacing now petroleum-based derivatives. And in a small way, FMCG that I talked to you about, but we are also evaluating any opportunities that there may be there for us in the future. And the focus will essentially be on market-led innovation to deliver sustainability, to help global companies meet their sustainability targets through products which are not only sustainable, but are innovative in terms of the application areas, end application areas that we spoke about. So that is a quick introduction to India Glycols. And of course, one more thing I might like to add, in terms of safety, health and environment, it's a very, very important area for us. We recognize that we are in the process industry and we must continue to aspire to be best in class as far as compliance to environment or safety or health standards are concerned. We do quite a lot of work in that area And our factories have a large number of certificates, which I would not go into right now. And we continue to work closely with our communities in various ways, be it working with schools, be it supporting the community in need of crisis, whether it was, you know, we are not a major oxygen supplier or a manufacturer. What we did convert all of our oxygen capacities, which were industrial oxygen capacities, into liquid oxygen capacities immediately to make sure that we could do our bit in helping the country deal with the crisis during the second wave. So that is briefly about India Glycols. I thought this was a first call that we were having, so I took the liberty and the opportunity to give you an overview of India Glycols. I would now like to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Anand Singhal, to take you through some of the financials. And then we can have time for discussion.
So just to update what Mr. Rupak Sarasat has just told everybody, as per the accounting standard, since we have shifted our one of the division to Clariant, but till 30th June we have to show the results in continued and discontinued operations. So we have to show discontinued operations results as EO derivatives product. So what I will give you the numbers as a consolidated, not for discontinued and continued operations, although the discontinued and continued operations results are given our presentation separately. So just to give you the figures, for company as a whole, including the discontinuation operations, the revenue of from operations for this quarter, means Q1 22, is 865 crores vis-a-vis the corresponding Q1 quarter of 2021, 385, while Q4, the last quarter, was revenue from operations from 973. The main cause for this reduction or whatever is due to COVID in the first quarter. The PBT is 77.92 as a whole against 56.40 crores of Q1 21 and 130 crores for Q4. This quarter we have shown the profit out of this slum sale of about 240 crores, which has been shown as an exceptional item. So to conclude the results in brief, EPS for this quarter is 68 rupees including the exceptional item against 1.38 of the corresponding quarter one of the last year and 22.93 for the Q4. So this is the brief about our results, and we are ready to take the questions, whatever, from the investors.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this opportunity, sir. First, my question will be on the CAPEX announcement. So just wanted to know what would be the asset turn on this grain-based CAPEX which we have announced, and what sort of return ratio we are expecting. Would be only for ethanol, or there would be some derivative or downstream product as well?
Yeah, if I understand your question correctly, you wanted to understand the CAPEX investment that we talked about in terms of distillery, right? And return.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So the first question is that we are investing around 300 crores to expand our capacities to make
alcohol or ethanol using grain-based feedstocks. We already have the capability to make ethanol using molasses-based feedstocks. And the second question that you asked is, of course, we will be taking the opportunity to participate in the biofuels market, because that's something that the government policy has focused on and is encouraging the industry to do that. The rationale, which all of you understand, one is, of course, you know, reducing outflow of foreign exchange. Second, of course, increasing incomes in the farm sector. And thirdly, you know, India has actually significant stocks of grain which is not getting properly taken care of or not in a good condition that gets utilized as well. So apart from biofuels, it also helps us. If you see, alcohol is a very important feedstock for us. So we buy alcohol, we produce ethanol using molasses, and this gives us another, you know, basis for producing ethanol, which helps us create opportunities and also de-risk our business. As far as this investment is concerned, this investment is not talking about producing specialties from it right now, as far as this capex is concerned. However, having said that, as I said, bio-based ingredients and performance chemicals is going to be a focus area for us. We are looking at several projects and which are in the pipeline, and we have some assets, and we may be investing in building capability in that area in future as well. You also asked me about returns. I think the returns on this capex, as far as the internal calculations that we've done, are very good, and you know, with an excellent payback as well.
Okay, okay. So any ballpark number we can expect?
So in terms of, you know, top line, it is very difficult for me to give an exact number, but I can give you indicative numbers. You know, this could potentially add up to 600 plus crores to our top line, and this could add up well above 100 crores plus to our bottom line as well.
Okay, okay. So we just wanted to know also that what would be the overall demand supply dynamics in the this grain based expansion plants, as there are other grain based ethanol plants are also coming in next maybe 15 to 18 months. I think IOCL and SPCL are also putting up close to 500,000 capacity. So just wanted to know what is the overall demand supply dynamics that would be favorable for even IGL also in the next 2-3 years.
Yes. So, you know, look, what is the target that Government of India has? The Government of India has taken a target that we would be blending something like 20% of, you know, ethanol by 2025. And in 2013, we were blending, you know, not even 3% to 3% or 1.8% of ethanol in petrol. Last year, we were close to, I think, on an average 6%. This year, it appears that we will be close to 9 to 10%. And the requirement of ethanol, which I think this year is expected procurement of 3,50,000 crores, is expected to go up to 900 plus lakh crores when 20% blending happens. So, and there is an assurance by the government that they'll be picking up all the ethanol that gets produced. So I think in, as far as consumption is concerned, it is not something that will become a bottleneck for the industry for all the capacity that is getting put up. From our perspective, I would like to say that we are probably a little better off that we don't only produce ethanol for blending. Ethanol is anywhere feedstock for us for alcohol as far as the portable spirits business is concerned, where we add more variety. We can add more variety in terms of the ENS that we sell to the market. We will have... And obviously, we can we have potentially use for our performance chemicals and bio-based specialty as well.
Okay, okay. Secondly, on this EO derivative business which we have recently transferred to JV, which was I think was close to about 90,000 metric ton capacity, if I'm not wrong. What kind of, peak revenue potential we can expect from this business, and is there any further near-term plan to expand this capacity?
So I, you know, let me give you a more qualitative answer. And look, this business, if you look at the specialty chemicals business, has been growing well over the past several years. And I told you the synergies which exist between Clariant and IGL. I told you about the markets, which is personal care, pharma, textiles, coatings and polymers, all of which are expected to grow at 10%+. And there is all reason for us to believe that with strengths of Clariant, which is global technology and reach to global customers, and the manufacturing strengths of IGL, you know, this business will have a promising growth going forward as well. Now, the JV is making a plan for it, and, you know, I would rather have the results speak for themselves over a period of time. But we think it's a good growth potential. The other thing which is that Clariant now sources bio-based, ethylene oxide-based products in India. And the variable that they need to work on is the fact that these products will now be also introduced to their global customers.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean,
thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Jain, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes
please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side. First, on the bio-based chemicals which we supply, can you give some color in terms of what is the industry exposure for us? How much is it fuel? How much it is polymer? And the other industry we cater to?
Look, I don't have the precise numbers with me as of now, but we could obviously get back to you subsequently.
No, some color will be okay. As in, we are dominated on polymer side, or we are dominated on fuel side, or polyester side. Which are the 2-3 dominant segment for us, and how are they doing? And in those particular segment, what is the importance of sustainability? Are we an alternative to petrol, or it's a sustainable? And people are structurally looking us to partner us, irrespective of what is the differential pricing between petrol and bio.
Right. So in terms of the big three segments, as far as bio-based ingredients and performance chemicals are concerned, glycols and glycol ethers continues as of now to be the biggest one. Biofuels was quite significant, but now what has been happening is that you may know that ethanol prices went up abnormally high for imported ethanol as well as ethanol available within the country for a variety of reasons, which include, what's happening to the corn crop and the fact that there is drought in Brazil, and therefore there's an expectation that, less of sugarcane-based ethanol will be available, including corn demanding China. So ethanol prices have been abnormally high, which used to be close to, say if they were close to be rupees 35 landed, they are touching as high as 50, which is abnormal. So one big sector is this. Therefore, as a result of it, it has made sense for us to consume a lot of ethanol that we produce for our own chemicals. So currently it is not as large, but as we also invest in the distilleries going forward, biofuels will be also a major segment for us in terms of top line and bottom line contribution. We are also looking at new specialty areas. I spoke about one of them. Carbon Smart, which is one of the specialty areas. The specialty areas after the joint venture is obviously relatively small right now, but we do foresee and we are working toward building it up quite nicely over a period of time.
And how big is polymer for us in that, bio-based chemicals?
I think it's about 10% of that right now, but we do believe it has more potential as the world starts to look at more sustainable alternatives.
Got it. My thought process here that tomorrow ethanol in India is getting expensive, and considering that crude is moving towards EV, can cost be a bottleneck for us in terms of growing bio-based polymers and other specialty, considering that they will be relatively expensive than the fossil fuel-based ingredients on the same line. Do you think that will be a challenge, or we are looking at a customer who are ready to invest in a sustainability irrespective of a cost, and that the differential will not pay out and we will be able to maintain the margins?
So there are two or three points as far as this dynamics is concerned. First of all, as you would see and as you would read, the biggest driver for the industry, not only quarter to quarter, not only year to year, but even longer term, is the fact that the world is very, very concerned about climate change. That is an overriding driver. In fact, you might have heard, the Secretary General of the United Nations once actually say in his speech that we are losing the race. And therefore, that is the reason why the United Nations has set what are known as United Nations Sustainability Development Goals. And as you may look at the plans for various companies, which includes Unilever, which includes other specialty companies like Croda and other major consumer companies, they have very specific targets to reduce their carbon footprint. So this is an overall driving force which exists as of now. That is one. The second thing is that we also know that as demand gets created, mankind and industry finds a way of creating supply. And there is tremendous opportunity to create supply, say for ethanol, not only from grain or sugarcane based feedstock, which is coming up now, and as more and more alcohol capacity also comes up, we think it will have a stabilizing influence. But there are newer technologies which are working on cellulosics, for example. Now, what is cellulosics? Cellulosics is getting ethanol from carbon, which comes from just straw and hay and, agricultural waste. If something like this works out, can you imagine what a positive development it is that all the waste, agricultural waste which gets burnt in the north of India is actually converted to ethanol? Those technologies are already being commercialized right now. So longer term, I am not too concerned. Even shorter term, the high ethanol prices that you talked about and the graph that goes up is a phenomenon for the last few months. And I spoke to you about what's happening in the corn space and the fact that, sugarcane is expected to be a drought in Brazil. But it's not a longer-term concern. And the third point I'd like to make is this. Our objective is not only to continue to do biofuels. We are also looking at more value-added propositions for our feedstocks. One of them obviously you've seen is portable spirits, where we are moving into more premium products. And the other that I, right in the beginning you said, what are your big sectors? I said, after the JV, bio-based specialties and performance chemicals may be smaller right now, but we look at working on this to build it up as a nice business. And that is another thing. Apart from the feedstocks, we also will continue to work on moving up the value chain and adding more value to the feedstock that we have. So on the whole, I am more optimistic than pessimistic is what I would like to say.
Got it. That's great. Just one, I got a couple of, but I will come back on the queue. One last question before I close my questions here. How do you look at Carbon Smart? As in, it looks a very interesting idea, but how scalable, how matured is the technology? Is cost competitive? Can we sustainably create an economics around this? Can you elaborate a little bit more on the Carbon Smart range?
Yeah. So, as you would see, this has been a question asked every time a new technology has been introduced. And we remember way back in early 90s or late 80s when the mobile phone was introduced and the airtime charge was 16 rupees a minute. And compared to my salaries, it was humongous. That's one. It also helps me answer one of your other questions. You said, do people pay for it? Now, the fact that we sell bio-MEG at a significant premium and the fact that our business is expanding with customers other than just one Coke is at least promising to say that, yes, people and companies are starting to value it more and more. And I gave you the overall picture of the fact that the sustainability agenda is so very important that this will continue to be an important driver for us. So Carbon Smart, yes, it is an established technology. And the fact that Unilever went ahead and made a public announcement
should be some assurance at least to you that they have done their sums in terms of costing and the fact that they would like to be seen, one, associated with it. Secondly, they see it to be something which is scalable. And thirdly, as we start producing more and more, like it happened, for example, in terms of solar panels. At one point in time, solar panels were very expensive. I'm sure as more and more technology adoption happens, the cost comes down and the viability moves up.
Got it. No, that's helpful. Thank you very much and best of luck for your future ventures.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, we request you to limit your questions to one per participant only. If time permits, you can come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Vijay Sarda from Cressida Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So my question pertains to the overall structural shift that the company is seeing now under your leadership. So I just wanted to understand how you see company transforming in next 3 to 5 years with this so-called basically ESG angle. And once you put things in perspective, currently what we have looked at in last 2-3 years, the kind of development that is happening, we are moving toward more value-added segment from the industrial or commodity segment. So if I look at the company next 3 to 5 years, so what we done with Clariant, Lever, and then secondly, third, the way our nutraceutical business is growing, as well as your focus on carbon smart, as well as the other ESG kind of initiative. So how we should look at the company in the times to come? Because ultimately, as you rightly said, it's not going to be in a year or one that we will see the entire transformation benefit that what we are trying to do. So how quickly or where, what kind of improvisation we can see from the commodity business to the value-added business? And just last thing in terms of this, what kind of capex we are looking at to get into this mode?
Okay. So thank you for your question. Let me take your second question first. We have growth plans for all the three broad sectors that we talked about, and those growth plans do involve capex as well. One of the significant capexes was announced recently. So if you want a number, I am reasonably sure that over the next couple of years, you could expect us to spend 400 to 500 crores on capex overall. And if there are opportunities, we'll continue to look at more opportunities as well. Now, how do I look at company in the next 4 or 5 years? There are a few things that you're doing, and you can probably assess how you would like to look at the company over the next 4 or 5 years. One is that we've created a line of thinking where we have identified what we are going to focus on. So we, as I said, we are going to focus on bio-based ingredients and chemicals as one, vertical or sector for us, which includes polymer, biopolymers, glycols, glycol ethers, esters, biofuels, gases, and other possibly alcohol-based or bio-based specialties. The second one being portable spirits, which includes branded country liquor and IMFL. And the third one being e-nature biopharma. So the focus of the company is clear. And the other point I made to you was that it's not a disparate set of businesses which are unrelated to others. On the contrary, these are hugely synergistic businesses for us. And we would like to build on this synergy and leverage that in building the company. So that's as far as the focus and the, you can say the outline for the strategy comes from here. And the focus will continue to cater to various end markets with a good potential. As I said, personal care, pharma, food, packaging, oil field, automotives, biofuels, and so on. All of these sectors are expected to grow well in India. I cannot talk about the kind of uncertainty which the pandemic will introduce. But otherwise, as you know, these sectors have been thought about over the longer term to grow in double digits. So we are catering to good sectors with good application potential. The third thing that we will focus on is innovation. It has been to a large extent in the DNA of IGL when it started. And if you remember right in the beginning, I said what happened 30 years ago is more relevant and inspiring to us than any other time.
like to, by focusing on learning and development innovation, selectively widen our portfolio. And therein we talked about the carbon smart range, broadening the bio-based specialties, looking at what more can we do with, you know, molasses-based ethanol, what more can we do with grain-based ethanol, what more can we do with ethylene oxide, bio-based ethylene oxide that we have, which are some of the unique strengths that we have. And obviously, we'll continue to add to our capabilities. And make sure, and we believe that we have a good pipeline. Having said all of that, you know, I realize it fully well, and so does the team sitting here, that doing business and growing business is never easy. It is not going to be easy, but we know what we are going to do. We know what the strategy is like. And the fourth thing that we are going to do, and which we possibly need to do more of, is to leverage our credentials much more. One, IGL has very strong credentials in manufacturing technology and process know-how. So we can leverage it much more. Also leverage our sustainability credentials much more. One of the examples of leveraging that credentials was the reason that, you know, Clariant was so interested in forming a JV with us. Of course, we were interested as well. And the fifth thing that we are going to do is to make sure that we build good partnerships. These partnerships could be with suppliers. These partnerships could be with end customers who value, as I said, some of the strengths of IGL. You've heard about Lululemon making an announcement. You've heard about Unilever making an announcement. But all of them are not necessarily big consumer companies making announcements. So we would like to build strong partnerships on the back of our credentials in manufacturing, our credentials in sustainability, and last but not the least, our credentials in being reliable suppliers and a reliable company to deal with. And the other thing that we would be working on is building capability and capacity. You asked me the first question about CapEx, but you know, it's not only about capacity, it's also about capability for us. And so when we talk about carbon smart, it's not only about capacity, it's also about being the leading company in terms of setting up new capabilities. IGL has done that before. I'm sure there's a lot of potential to do that in future as well. You know, there's an interesting thing which we say, that it is not companies which compete. Companies don't compete. Companies are non-living entities. It is people who compete. So one of our focus areas also is going to be making sure that we invest in the talent pipeline. We make sure we have the right skill sets and start thinking about that going forward into the future. We do things like succession planning, which is very important as well. And last but not the least, extremely important, that we continue to work on strengthening our systems and processes. So you will see us working more on strengthening our digital space, making sure that we enhance our presence in the digital space, working on systems in HR, working on systems in safety, health and environment, and creating a culture which is based on a strong foundation in learning and development. So I have given you my thought process about what we want to do with the company that I spoke to you about sometime before and with the markets that we are dealing with, which should hopefully give you a picture of what's the potential that holds for IGL going forward in the next few years.
Great, sir. It was quite comprehensive. Thank you. Sir, that's the last thing in terms of how the debt profile will remain, because what we've seen with the client money coming in, any which way the debt is going down. So next 2-3 years, do we see balance sheet going towards kind of a very low debt or very long-term zero debt kind of?
Hello, this is Anand Singhal. I'm the CFO. Just to reply your question regarding the debt, just to tell you that the debt equity has come down to 0.36 as on 30th June. And we are expecting some debt out of these expansions. Somehow, even then, our debt equity will not cross in any case 1. That's what we can say. And debt will come and the repayment will happen as per the debt sanctions.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pawan Nahar, an investor. Please go ahead.
So, Anandji, I mean, I just want to continue with the previous question first. Is if you can put the absolute debt numbers post the deal and post the expansion. No debt equity number, please.
So now after the deal, the actual debt in the company for the long term is around 400 crores as of now.
And working capital?
And working capital, the sanction is say fund base 280, but the utilization is less.
Okay.
Okay. So we are not expecting any increase in the utilization immediately in the working capital.
But term loan will, the repayment will happen as per their sanction. However, for this expansion which we have already announced, we have applied for the term loan of 225 crores, and Rupak sir has already given the expected increase in the turnover and the profitability.
So yes, that was more like a 3-year payback. Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the...
Okay.
Yeah.
And apart from this, if we have gone through the JV announcement which has happened in the quarter, we have already got about 450 crores which we have already repaid the term loan, high cost loan and the working capital reduction. We are expecting some more funds out of this JV, say about 208 crores or so, which will also be used for the repayment of the existing debt. So somehow the company is inclined to reduce the debt. We are not inclined for raising debt like anything. So this is what is the thought process of the management right now.
So the debt number that you gave for term loans is after the money received from Clariant and after repayment. Understood.
I am giving you the debt number as of date.
As of date. Okay. Now, the next question which I want to ask the management is, look, you know, it is pretty apparent that there are lots of opportunities. Yes. And it is going to be difficult for anyone to quantify or to, you know, pinpoint how things would be. But still, I mean, given that ultimately it's also a manufacturing company, you know, the growth outlook would be dependent on the investments we make into the factory broadly. Now, this 300 crore investment is not new or linked to this, you know, JV. Of course, it would have given us the flexibility. It is linked to more the opportunity which has come up in the country. Now, beyond this 300 crores, like what I want to ask is, one, if you can quantify the opportunities in terms of absolute dollars to be invested into factory. And two is, or you could alternatively tell us, in 3 years you have a vision that this should be the either turnover or profit of the company, operating profit, you know, with the JV or without the JV or consol, howsoever you want to break it. Because see, you will appreciate that it is not so easy to understand. Of course, I do understand parts of the or some part of the business. Or so, if you can quantify in 3 years or 5 years, what is the kind of a target we have in terms of numbers? And it may or may not happen. That's all right. I mean, you know, but what is your guesstimate today?
Yeah, sir, howsoever I may wish and you may like to have a firm number on what the forecast would be, I don't think it will be right for me to give a number. However, I believe I have given quite a lot of background and information on the end markets that we serve, on what are the strategic actions that we are taking, what are the investments that we are making. So I'll have to, you know, excuse myself from predicting an outcome in 3 years or 5 years. But in terms of my, you know, how I feel about the business, obviously I feel optimistic. Obviously, we are in times which are a little uncertain, but you know, it's not a 2020 match, and we will continue to drive the right strategy, and I believe once we continue to drive the right strategy, working with the right customers, working with the right, you know, end growth markets, you know, we should have good results as well. And, you know, I'm afraid at this point in time, that is what I would like to say.
No issues. So can I just rephrase it a little bit? Look,
so may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. Sir, firstly, like, you know, as you indicated that, you know, there is a potential in each of the segment. So, sir, I wanted to understand, like, if you can give us the overall capacity of industrial chemical, ethyl alcohol, nutraceutical, and the specialty part separately, and what would be the current utilization level, and also if you can give the capex segment-wise rather than giving the capex, you know, at overall level.
Look, CapEx segment-wise, I don't have those details available right now with me. We could get back to you. And we have already told you that the biggest investment is in grain ethanol. So, you know, major chunk of it you know. And as I had told you that our operations are quite synergistic, and it is difficult to, for me right now, give you a very precise number in terms of what is the capacity in one segment and the others. Sometimes ethanol goes for portable spirit, sometimes it goes for bio. In general, I would like to tell you that at an overall level, you know, our capacity utilizations are closer to 75%. Closer to, you know, you asked me to give you a guesstimate, I'm giving you a guesstimate. So we have room for expansion and we are investing in more. A capacity in e-nature kind of business could also be in kilos of high value. So the two are not comparable and cannot be put next to each other. So, as you know, that's what I could tell you right now.
Okay. So at least, as you said that, you know, your business is integrated and, you know, you don't know if ethanol is going to go into this business and that business based on the requirement and based on the demand, you would be shifting it. But at least at a broad level, what would be your capacity today in a metric ton?
In what?
In a metric ton, liter or metric ton, whatever it is.
You know, can I request you one thing? We could take this question offline so that we understand what exactly you want to know and we can respond appropriately.
No issues, sir. I can come offline. I was broadly trying to understand, you know, what is the overall capacity at a broad level and, you know, what, as you indicated, that utilization is 75%. What can be the peak utilization level and what would be the capacity expansion plans?
Yeah, I spoke to you about capacity expansion plan. I'm sorry, I don't have precise numbers to rattle out right now.
Okay, fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us and giving us the opportunity to not only answer your question, but also to tell you a little bit more about the company. And hopefully we've clarified some doubts and responded to you in a, to your satisfaction. As I said, some of those questions which were subsequently put up, we might respond later on as well. Thank you very much from not only myself, but the leadership team here. For joining and allowing us this opportunity to engage with yourselves. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you very much.